Hi, everyone. Welcome to Domain Sherpa, and thank you for tuning into the podcast with the best domain name and digital asset content in the world. Today's episode is a Domain Sherpa review titled Go Big or Go Home, featuring Braden, Josh, and Drew. On today's show, we play the domain game featuring hashpower.com, linkglobal.com, but that's with a Q, and skills.org. Then we've got the NameJet and a Jet segment sponsored by NameJet, and we talk about some domains coming up for auction, including primedata.com, payrollprocessing.com, and marvelous.org. Then we talk about portfolio size and domain pricing, experimentation and A/B testing, market dynamics and the pace of change, and some of the appraisal challenges for non-coms. A lot of that discussion takes place towards the end of the show, so probably worth sticking around until the end. We also go off topic a little bit and we talk about beach ownership and longevity. All that and more is on today's show. And remember, if you're listening to the audio version of this podcast, you can also watch the video version at domainsherpa.com and on our YouTube channel at ds.tv. You can also listen to the shows on Apple and Spotify and other podcast platforms as well. So please make sure to hit the like button and the subscribe button where you can and help Domain Sherpa grow the pie. We also integrate our shows with skiv.com, which provides search functionality for the shows and transcripts as well. And now for some shout outs to our sponsors. First, we've got Unstoppable Domains. Unstoppable is the ICANN accredited registrar giving domainers powerful tools and lowest pricing in the industry. Get $7.99.com back orders, expired auctions, and text you can't get anywhere else, like AI search, AI outbounding, and their new AI site builder. They're a one-stop shop for managing costs and boosting sales. And big shout out to Appraise.net. Appraise.net gives you instant AI-powered domain appraisals, a retail price range, plus the reasoning behind it, strengths, weaknesses, best use case, and likely buyer profile for every name. Whether you're buying, selling, or pricing your portfolio, know what your domains are really worth. Claim your first month special at appraise.net/domainsherpa. And also, big shout out to DNX.com. DNX is the domain name intelligence platform featuring all-in-one search results from the top marketplaces, including GoDaddy, Cedo, and Atom. DNX is the most advanced way to find and acquire your domain names, so go to DNX.com today. And also, shout out to NameBio. Know what domains are really worth before you buy or sell. NameBio.com gives you searchable access to more than $3 billion in historical domain sales, so you can find comps, spot trends, and make smarter decisions. If you buy or sell domains, NameBio.com is where you check the comps. Last but not least, big shout out to our own business, Media Options, the number one domain brokerage in the world. Find out more at MediaOptions.com, where you can also sign up for our newsletter for the best domain opportunities available in the market every week, and also featuring key insights and other helpful information related to branding, naming, and of course, domain investing. And finally, we've got NamesCon 2026 taking place November 11th and 12th in Miami. NamesCon Global brings together domain investors, registrars, registries, and digital entrepreneurs to explore the technologies and trends reshaping the online world. So get to namescon.com for more information and to register. So with all that, it's now time to get into this episode of Domain Sherpa, where all roads lead to domains. What's up, Sherpa Network? Thank you for tuning in today. My name is Jonathan Tenenbaum, a.k.a. JT, a.k.a. Jayon, a.k.a. Sherpa Winfrey, and I'm the host and producer of Domain Sherpa, where all roads lead to domains. Today's show is a Domain Sherpa review, where we get into the minds of successful domain investors using real examples so we can learn strategies and tactics to become more successful domain name investors ourselves. These are the experts, the OGs, the best in the biz, my homies, and very excited for today's show. We've got four segments to a Domain Sherpa review. We've got the grand opening. That's where I intro the Sherpas. We see what's going on with them, talk about some related things, maybe some unrelated things. Then we get into the domain game. That's where we hear about what the Sherpas recently bought or sold. Everybody guesses on the price. We keep score. And somehow, some way, someday, going to get some swag to the winners. Yeah. Maybe some media option swag. You know what I'm saying? We got a little something. Anyway, and then we've got NameJet and a Jet, where we review a list of domains coming up for auction on NameJet, see what the Sherpas like and what they don't like. And then last but not least, we've got Grand Closing, where we'll discuss anything we haven't covered already, what's going on in the domain space, looking at the market trends, current events, and allowing our guests to mention anything that they want to talk about that we've not already discussed. So with that, let's go ahead and introduce the Sherpas over to my left. We got my boy Andrew Rosner, a.k.a. Morpheus, a.k.a. the Dirk Diggler of Digital Assets, a.k.a. Bob Lee Swagger, the Sniper, a.k.a. Drew. Drew got what I need, a.k.a. every Rosner has its thorn. Never going to give Drew up. Get Rick Roll, Graybeard, the Domain Pirate with a gray beard. The Domain Pirate. What's up, man?
I am extremely tired. I slept basically 2 hours last night, but all is well. All is well. You know, it's summertime, living large. And this is my last week of work and then going on holidays for 3 weeks. And all good. All good.
Wait, you're going on holidays for 3 weeks? So, we should get our bids in then, right?
Yeah. Well, you know, one of my favorite pastimes on holiday, I actually bid on more domain auctions on holiday than I do during the week. During the week, I'm like actually working and I'm like, you know, I usually spend 30 minutes to an hour, depending on how busy I am in the morning, looking at the auctions, see if there's anything I want to drop a bid on. If I have a little bit of time before I go offline at the end of the day, I'll take one more quick look. But these days, I spend a lot less time on the auctions than I used to. But if I'm on holiday, man, I'm in that GoDaddy, you know, drop catch and GoDaddy DNX. And I'm just like, grilling, you know, I get hungry. So I don't know. But this time I'm going to be trying to be pretty disconnected, particularly next week, go visit the family in the U.S., spend a little time in New York, and then we'll be back over on this side of the pond with my wife's family, and that's it.
Boom. All right, good stuff. All right, let's keep it moving. We've got my boy Josh Reason, a.k.a. Bjorn Borg, a.k.a. Prince Harry, a.k.a. Harry Kane, a.k.a. Prince Harry Kane, a.k.a. Slim Shady, a.k.a. DNX. It's dark and hell is hot. X gonna give it to you. Stop, drop, shut them down, open up shop. What up, dude?
What up, dude? How's it going?
Good, man. Good. Checking in from the other side of the pond.
Yeah. I was texting with you last night at like 2 a.m.
I felt bad, man, when I was bugging you about like
this morning. We were at the beach in a place called Woolacombe, and I was like, God, if I just
what,
sweat,
what's it called?
Wouldn't have to go home right now for a Sherpa. It's called it's a beach called Woolacombe. It's in North Devon. It's really nice.
Okay. Yeah. Beautiful area.
Beach that you don't believe exists in the UK, but it does.
Yeah. No, it's an amazingly beautiful area. You know, on my mom's side of the family, we used to own it, the whole area.
What?
Look it up. No joke. Cole family. Basically, most of Devon, Cornwall.
I think we've talked about this before.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Back in the 1400s.
Yeah. So like one of the crazy.
You got it. There's still a castle there.
Yeah, so one of
1400s, and he's still saying we.
Yeah. Look, I still got the bloodline, man. I got the RH negative royal bloodline.
Beaches are still privately owned as well. Like, so you can go, there are some beaches that you have to pay to go to, and I don't know if it's like that in the U.S., mostly not, right?
I don't think so. I don't think you can privately own a beach, right? No, sorry, there are private beach clubs.
Yeah, but the actual beach itself is not like can't.
Yeah, I don't know, but I know that there is. You can have gated access, but I don't know if it's municipal. I don't know how that works.
Mm.
But like I know in Rhode Island, there are several super OG, extraordinarily racist beach clubs that, like, literally to this day don't allow Jews and Black people. you have to be a member and you're not allowed, and they arrest people when they try. I don't know how that works, because then you also, like, I know a bunch of people that own like very nice homes at the beach, but they have to provide a right of way. So I don't know what that differentiation is. I don't know.
It's so usually it's the high tide line is kind of like the difference.
Yeah, but like, you know, a private beach club clearly owns the beach.
They own the dry sand, but technically they don't own the wet sand for the most part.
They don't have to provide
access.
I guess you have to let people walk along the water line in front of you. They just can't come up on the beach, but you don't have to provide access to.
State law, like, and obviously certain states like Florida, California, you know, where there's a lot of coast, and, you know, there's the different states have different rules. But, you know, the general rule of thumb is that, you know, you can own the dry sand and you can own the access unless there is sort of other, you know, public access is available. You're not supposed to block it off. That's where you've had people like that have been sued for, you know, basically buying a property and then try to put a fence up over the public beach access and they get sued. So some of that stuff is deeded. It's, you know, again, it's state law that may require a certain, you know, public access. But usually the way it works for the actual sand, like the ownership of this, it's the, you can own the dry sand, but the wet sand is public, which is why, again, like even if you're in Florida, but we got the beach clubs here, you know, people can just randomly walk up and you know, and they're not totally policing who walks up and down the dry sand a lot of times anyway. But, you know, that's the general rule of thumb is that, you know, they can own the dry sand. The high tide line and beyond is effectively like the public access ocean, if you will. So,
okay.
And then there's the actual access to the beach is a whole like kind of different story, which is a lot of state law and like, you know, and different stuff. You know,
in Portugal, the only good thing the communists did was that they protected the entire coastline of Portugal. And so you cannot own the beach. And I think you cannot own unless you can prove private ownership before 1885, I want to say, then you cannot get grandfathered in. You cannot own the first 50 meters or even 100 meters. I think it's 100 meters from the beach. And so the whole coastline of Portugal is, other than the Algarve, because the Brits and the Germans destroyed it early. But other than that, the whole coastline is just pristine.
Yeah, like super unspoiled.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really cool. It really is. It's pretty special for Europe. It's pretty special to have a completely untouched coastline. I mean, you cross the border into Spain and that like Costa del Sol, Costa Brava, it's just like hideous, just like monstrosity, concrete jungle of buildings on the beach that are so ugly, one after the other, after the other, after it's like, it's terrible.
Yeah. So, and different states do it differently in the U.S. I mean, and I'm looking at it right now. Maine, actually, you can extend, property lines can extend all the way to the mean low tide line, meaning that you can actually own some of that wet sand water area and prevent people from being there and stuff. So,
I bet that has to do with the long legacy of like shellfishing and shellfish harvesting and lobstering and, you know, the fishing rights on the shore.
100%. See? So that's it. That's you. You
learn. All right. That was your non-domain name related lesson for the day.
It'll probably be the only
factoid
one.
Factoid Sherpa.
Yeah.
Let's go. All right. Let's keep it moving. Last but certainly not least, below me on the show for the first time in a minute, we got the one and only Braden Pollock, a.k.a. Tony Stark, a.k.a. Benjamin Button, a.k.a. Eat Bray Love, a.k.a. Braden Pollockton, the Archduke of Calabasas, the Viscount of Woodland Hills. And now, you know, I didn't even think about this. I don't know the area of Puerto Rico that you moved to, but we're going to have to come up with a...
Dorado Beach.
Dorado.
Oh, okay.
You can get real creative with that. You can be like the.
I'm gonna work on that.
What's the Spanish version of a duke?
Yeah. Hold on. Let's.
El duque de Dorado. El duque de Dorado.
Should we take an intermission right now? Or
yeah.
El duque. El Duque of El Dorado. Well, is it Dorado?
I'm pretty sure I just got done saying El Duque de Dorado.
El Duque Dorado. That's it. That's the Viscount of Woodland.
Well, no, that's different. If you say El Duque Dorado, then he's the Golden Duke. If you say El Duque de Dorado or Del Dorado, then it's the Duke of Dorado.
Oh, okay. El Duque de Dorado. I can't say
it
all.
He could be the El Duque Dorado, Tom, you know, also.
I just don't want to be the Dukey of Dorado.
El Duque Dorado.
I'm adding this to the
Golden Turd. That's going to be your new AKA, the Golden Turd.
No, of Woodland Hills and the El Duque de Dorado.
It's writing it down.
It's not that your domain is worthless. It's just that it's worth less, baby. What's up, man? How are you?
Good. Good. Just getting settled here in Puerto Rico.
Yeah, man. How's that going?
I'd say I'm learning my Spanish, but I'm not really. I'm just, everybody speaks English here, so I'm getting by.
You should learn. You should learn. It's very useful.
Is it all expats in your neighborhood?
What's that?
Is it like all expats or and foreign folks?
It's like 110% expats. Everybody's American here in the bubble.
Yeah. Have you made any friends?
What's that?
Made any friends?
I've met a few people, but literally half the people are gone because it's summertime and these are all second home, so everybody left. So it's pretty quiet around here.
Yeah. Have you connected with Rick Latona?
I have not connected with Rick. Merlin has texted me about 15 times, but I've not seen him yet. He's on the other side of the island, but still, island's not that big.
Yeah.
So it's 100 miles, stem to stern.
Yeah.
All right. Well, very nice, man. So you're enjoying it?
Yeah. Yeah. So far, so good. I got Daniel with me here.
Okay.
And my girlfriend, she came out. So I got my own little mishpoka here.
You got your squad. I like it.
Yeah.
So, good stuff, man. All right, cool. Well, everybody, welcome to the show. And let's, I guess we can slide right into the domain game. Let's do some domain talk since we already spent a good bit talking about maritime rules and laws. Let's see what's good. Drew, you want to kick off the domain game?
Yeah, well, we had some special requests from a fan of the show that I would be prepared for the show one time in my life and actually have a domain. And so I have, I've done that and I have a domain.
Wow.
So we're going to go with a buy. Did Braden freeze? No. He blinked. We're going to go with hashpower.com. Hashpower.com. Okay.
You bought this, hashpower.com.
Yes.
All right, so this is a purchase, hashpower.com.
This is a purchase.
Likes the energy names. Let's see.
Jesus. I have no idea. Take a wild guess here.
All right.
Tough one.
All right. Okay. All right. So Braden's at 5,000.
I think Josh was in this auction.
Oh, Braden's at 5,000. Josh is at 8,911. I'm at 9,999. We got a pretty tight
spread. I see some collusion. I don't know. Anyways, Josh is closest. It was like 8,900. Yeah, 8,900. I think it was 8,980.
How could you be that close, Josh?
I'm just elite.
What did you know?
Yeah, how do you not know that?
He's just an elite domain appraiser.
Yeah, he does have domain appraisal skills.
He is pretty good though. Josh is pretty good.
So, all right. Well, talk to us. What do you think? What's the where'd you buy it, and what was the motivation?
Well, I bought it on GoDaddy Auctions, and I like it because. It is basically the most important. There's a variety of things around, but it's Bitcoin related. And as you all know, I am a fan of Bitcoin, and I believe in its
thesis,
all sorts of stuff. The thesis, but the most important signal in Bitcoin is not price; it's actually hash power. And as hash power increases, so does the price. And hash power is basically a representation of, the security of the Bitcoin network. It is the amount of power being thrown at the network by miners, which again is, indicative of a whole bunch of things. And it's a precursor to price movement, both up and down. So, it also is like kind of a fun little brand that could be used in a whole bunch of ways. And there is such a close relationship between hash power and energy and hash power, energy and Bitcoin. And so hash power, I just think it's a phenomenal brand in the Bitcoin world and even potentially outside of the Bitcoin world. So I like it. I like it. I think it's just a really, you know, look, it's literally one of the most important keyword phrases around the entire Bitcoin ecosystem, arguably like top 3 to 5. So yeah. I already own proofofwork.com, which is probably the most important keyword phrase. And so, you know, proofofwork.com, hashpower.com, I'm, you know, building a little moat.
A little portfolio of,
Back in the day when I first got started in domains, I sold you proofoftrust.com, Drew.
And I still own it. I own POH.com. I don't own POT. That would be pot.com.
That was like one of my first decent sales, like successes that I had. And I sold it from making a post on Twitter as well to you. And like, we never talked back then, but I bought it in GoDaddy closeouts. And then like a few months later, it started like becoming this phrase that they were using in like the crypto community. And I posted it.
And I feel like in this agentic AI slop world, proof of trust is going to become ever more important.
Yeah. 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 For sure. It's a great name.
Yeah.
What about zero knowledge proof?
Well, that also very good. I had ZKP.com, and I sold that to Ryan Psychopath Ewing.
That'll be an AKA
Unstable, Mr. Unstable. He takes it as a compliment, so don't worry. Then apparently, supposedly, it's hard to know what's true and what's not, but supposedly he flipped it for like $2.5 million or something.
Mm-hmm. So I knew that you sold to him. That was a punt.
Yeah. And I still have 0kp.com. Uh-huh. So like instead of the Z, I've got the zero, you know, the number 0kp.com. And I think I've got zkp.org or I think what we've got is 0p.com, like mm-hmm. zero proof. I don't know.
For sure.
That's when you have a prostate problem, right? 0p?
There you go. 0p.
Sell that to a prostate doctor.
0p.
Speaking of which, I just saw prostate.org and I missed the end of the auction and it sold. I think it went pretty low. That was a great name. Did you buy that, Braden?
I didn't buy it, no.
That was a great name. I'm not a huge fan. We own a portfolio of probably one of the best portfolios of medical names, like disease names, and they don't sell well.
Same. I've got a whole bunch of like I call them pharmaceutical names, and I've sold a couple, but they don't sell that well.
Yeah. Yeah, we sold a few. I mean, we're probably in the black on the portfolio, but they don't sell through super often.
All right. Well, Josh gets the point and Drew gets the name and
great play.
Yeah.
Do you want who's next? Me?
You're up, dog. What
you got? All right. I haven't got really that nothing too exciting because I've told these guys all my sales recently. I've had a couple good .ai sales and then the only names that I bought in the last like 3 months is the two that I just partnered with Drew on. So can't really talk much about that, but I've got, you know, I got some sales that are not so exciting. So, and you know, we can talk about those. This one is LINQ. So LINQ global.com.
You know, I was like, oh, wow, that's a great name. Then you had to throw the global on there.
Yeah, yeah.
Global dash 16.
Dot XYZ.
Dot horse.
It's like anything over.
And Proton Mail.
Anything over like 10K in terms of a sale price, you guys already know it. So,
yeah. So okay. This is LINQ.
Well, now you just like kind of, I mean, I don't think any of us would have guessed over 10K on that, but.
I would have guessed over 10K.
LINQ. Global.com.
Yeah.
And you sold it.
Yeah. You gotta get close. You gotta get close. Somewhere between zero and 10K.
All right. Here we go.
All right.
Ready?
Boom.
Oh. Oh, did you guys? Is that the same? I can't even see.
Yeah, yeah. We
had to say.
Braden and I are both at 2,500 and 4,369. All right, Braden, you want the over or the under?
I'll take the. Oh shit! I'm gonna take the over.
Okay, I'll take the under. That's fine. All right. So I've got 2,499 now, and Braden's got 2,500. Unless it's 2,500 on the nose, then we both get the point.
Look at that picture.
Oh no, Drew got it. Drew got it.
Ah, I took that picture. They're all that.
What do you got? Yeah. How much?
4,700. 4,695.
Oh, I was close. I was close. I think
there's some collusion between you two right now.
No.
One of them is going to win the game, I think. I think we're, you know, because you've got to give it the next name, Braden. But let's, before we get to that, so Josh, what did you, was that a hand reg or did you actually?
Yeah. It was just another one of my hand registrations.
Hand reg, what makes you think, let me get LINQ Global. Like, come on, that's not a hand reg.
It was a hand reg from last year, just part of like the
closeout maybe, but like a hand reg?
A hand reg, yeah.
That's skill. I feel like, you know, you.
Josh, like stay strong. It. You sold that shit, so.
I feel like you, did you register that around the time? Didn't you do a,
I think a day, a, I mean, you know, that's
you're
it.
Clearly, you're clearly right.
Didn't you do a, was it a Domain Name Wire podcast where you talked about hand regging a bunch of names? Was this part of that?
Out of like 5,000 hand regs that I did last year, yeah.
Yeah.
Or maybe more. I think I did more. But no, it's like, it just follows the same thing that I talked about on Domain Name Wire. So like, basically, I identify a suffix, and then that, in this case, it was global. And then I search for the best keywords that I can find.
On LINQ, was it on the list?
Yeah, it was. And so it's actually surprising, right? Like, there's a lot of these, like, there's a lot of these obscure kind of like keywords that nobody would really like think about holding much value that are actually have like a ton of usage. And then you put like a suffix and they have some, you know, nominal value like this. And, you know, I move a lot of names like from that batch of hand registrations. I think I talked about a few of them on Sherpa already, but these type of names, I get it. They're total shit. You don't want to spend more than $10 on them, but you can move, like, the numbers make sense if you're selling them, you know, for 5K a pop. And
sure. That's a great result.
Yeah. I mean, can't shake the stick at that.
Yeah. Yeah. Work. So good stuff, man. All right. Well, you got the name, you sold the name. Drew gets the point. And now Braden, you've got to give a name and I'm going to abstain. And this is just going to come down to Drew and Josh for the change. Actually, you know
why? Why are you abstaining?
All right, you know what? Because, well, I was going to get to a winner, because if I get a point, then Braden's going to have to give us a second name to do the. But you know what? Let's do it. Let's do that. Oh, I'm going to participate.
I want to win this, JT.
I'm going to try to get the point. I'm going to try to get a comeback point here.
All right. I don't really have any .coms that I can talk about. With the exception of a 3L. I keep talking about .nets, and that's just driving the price up. So how about we'll do either AI or .org. What do you think?
Oh, I
give the audience what they want.
.org.
AI.
.org and then the .ai after JT wins.
If we need to.
Okay, all right. Let me pick a .org. All right, here's one. Skills, SKILLS.
It's a buy or a sell?
No, this is a sell.
Oh. Skills.org.
Skills.org.
Ooh, skills.org. Sexy.
Yeah, man. You got skills, Braden.
Oh,
man. I feel like you sold it for a lot.
You don't know that.
Yeah, I know. It's just something. Sometimes you got that look in your face.
I have no idea.
I sold several, so I pick one.
All right, here we go. 3, 2, 1. All right, I'm at 50,000. Josh is at 65,000, and Drew is at 74,369. That's pretty well clustered.
Spread.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, it's too bad you're all wrong.
Ooh.
I forgot.
Oh, Drew wins.
100 grand even.
Bang. Woo! Nice. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Wow. Good job. Nice. So Drew wins the domain game.
I like seed.org spoke for good money because I think their work that I really do. I love .org.
What, so talk to us, Braden. How long do you have, like, what'd you buy it for? When'd you get it? How long did you hold it? And how'd you sell it?
I had it for about a year and a half. I've attributed a $10,000 purchase price to it. And the reason why I say that is because I lent somebody, I think it was 30 grand against three domains. And it was me like 90 days or something. He came back. He's like, I don't have the money. You're just gonna have to keep those names. So I still have two more names.
Nice.
Yeah.
So, oh.
Hey, and that's what happens when you don't pay Braden back. He sells it real quick.
He sells your shit for more than he borrowed. Like,
yeah.
I got lucky on that one, you know. I mean, he didn't.
But... Like, I'm definitely talking about this one on Sherpa Mofo.
Yeah.
The second it happened, you're like, yo, I'm running with it. All right, well, good stuff. You know, I mean, that's so 10K to 100K. And yeah. Where do you sell it? Like, after Nick or Adam?
Let me look. Hold on. Where'd it go?
Adam.
Afternic broker.
Boom. Afternic broker.
Yeah, it was a negotiation. I had it priced at I had a bin of 130. And so okay. But I had it on I think I had it on Adam on Adam for 100, I think. So I just stuck with that, but they wanted to go through Afternic. So. Which happens, you know, if they want to pay more.
And these orcs are really popping recently. It's crazy. Or it just seems that way.
Nuts.
Now that everyone's buying them, it just seems like now they're all popping as well. It's just like whoever was holding them all before, like, was keeping it pretty private. And now everyone's buying them. And now all the sales are coming out. And you're just like, prices
go. I've been buying them for a while. But I remember when I was like, nobody buys .orgs. I ain't buying those. I'm just going to buy nets. And IOs and skip.orgs. I mean, I remember passing on like some great SLDs for like $1,000, and I wish I could go back. But that's the domaining game, I guess.
And well, you got that amazing deal with like all those single letter .orgs, and you still hold some, right?
I still have a few. Yeah, I just keep raising the price on those. But yeah, that was a deal. I mean, even when I did that deal, I closed it, and like the day after I closed, I was like, I should buy more of these. And I went back and I'm like, let me buy some more. And they said, nah, we're good.
Yeah, that was wild. That was the craziest deal of all time.
And yeah, I've had some strong offers. You know, like I've been turning down like, you know, $375,000 each. But I think I'm at 750 now, except for number8.org. I think I priced higher.
$8.
Yeah. Maybe
I didn't even realize that you had gotten some of the numbers.
I only got one number. I got 8, and then all the others were letters, good letters.
Mm-hmm.
And I sold Q like right out of the gate when I didn't know how much they were worth. I thought, oh, maybe they're worth like 60 grand. I ended up selling that for 500 years ago.
Mm.
Yeah, like pretty quickly after I bought the portfolio, I was like, I'm in the good.
Boom. Well, good work. So all good stuff. And congratulations to Drew for winning the domain game. It happens once every so often, you know.
Never.
Go ahead, Billy, give him some golf claps. You know, give him some love.
Now you can have one of your own hoodies.
Yeah.
If you ever.
I literally probably have less than everybody else.
I was just going to say, he has the least amount of swag as everybody. Yeah. Everyone. So. But anyway.
Media Options is the industry's leading domain broker specializing in domain acquisitions, high-value domain sales, and domain name consultations. And pioneers and thought leaders on the subject of the domain aftermarket and domain name value, plus through their clear domain acquisition service, Media Options offers startups and established corporations an unparalleled scope of high-value domain options, providing access to domain names and curation technologies not available elsewhere. Media Options believes in the power of a great domain name and is dedicated to helping you obtain yours. Call or email today to put a domain to work for you.
All right, well, good stuff, and good work all around, guys. That's good, good. All right, let's keep it moving. Now we're going to slide into NameJet and the Jet. The section or session or segment is sponsored by NameJet. We're going to review a list of domains coming up for auction to see what the Sherpas like and what they don't like. And it's a big shout out to NameJet. And you can go to the Domain Sherpa page and you can download the sheet that will have a bunch of the information about the names that we are going to talk about, including what's the age of the domain, how many back orders as of the time we put the list together, what the minimum bid looks like, when the order by date is, so you know when you need to get some your bids in. And a few of these are actually going to have already passed, so you can still participate, but you probably want to move somewhat quickly if you want to catch a few of these. So let's do that. In the meantime, and we have the appraised, the Estabot appraisals. We also have the appraisals from appraised.net. We've got their low, their high, their link to this, to the rest of that information. So hopefully that helps. Not financial advice, but you know, happy bidding. But let's talk about these names. So let's start with you, Josh. Talk to me about what names you like or don't like.
Okay. Well, we got a few .orgs on there.
I thought that, you know, coming off of the skills.org, there was there was a few others that are going to be happening on NamesJet. There's some really good oneword.org auctions going on. There were about two or three that I could have included on the list that are probably even better than the names that are on the list, but I didn't want it to be just all like .org. So,
yeah. I'm not sure if any of them are really the type of names that I would buy. They're just not quite strong enough. We're still in a place with .org where, you know, unlike .com, you do really want to try to get a strong SLD or something that fits the extension really well. And I would say that appreciate.org kind of feels like it fits the extension pretty well, but, you know, not much. I wouldn't spend a lot of money on that. I wouldn't mind having it, but I wouldn't spend a lot of money on it.
Okay.
Marvelous.org. Yeah, I mean, that one's slightly better. I think I would probably be into that for maybe a couple thousand, but not much more than that. These are not like super premium.orgs that I'd be spending over a or over 10K on, but not bad. And then steel.org, probably avoid that one personally. So yeah, I don't know if it's just me. I don't love the list. Yeah, the rest of them, honestly, like, there's nothing on there that I look at and I'm going to back order, just because I'm not, you know, if I was actively trying to scale the portfolio, I'd probably just put a back order on all of them, but none of them stand out to me as like must have names.
Okay.
But yeah, I'll leave the rest.
All right, cool. Braden, over to you.
So speaking of .orgs, I just won a .org on GoDaddy just now.
What is it?
What is it? It's Pinocchio.org.
Oh, wow.
Ooh.
Pinocchio.
Is that a...
Is that a
trademark?
No. It's the book is in the late 1800s.
I know, it's public domain.
Public domain.
It's a domain in the public domain.
I actually own the .com as well.
Oh, nice.
So figured throw the .org in there.
Lion ass puppet.
And for $450, I'll take it.
Yeah. Oh, that was it. $450. I like it. Cool. Yeah. All right, cool. Well, what else? What would you like? What would you like? Talk to us.
I think Crime Data. I mean, I don't really buy these kinds of names, but I like that one. PharmaLink. I think Payroll Processing is probably the best name on there.
Okay.
I mean, it's kind of generic, but I mean, processing.com is a banger. And so Payroll Processing is longer than that, but I know Processing has a lot of value, because I'm actually selling that one right now. So, and I've gotten multiple offers. So
nice.
That's what I got for you. Otherwise, the list is like,
yeah.
Yeah. I'm with you. All right, Drew.
Yeah. I mean, not a lot to add. The RMBA.com, you know, I could see that having some value, you know, in education or something. I also like the Prime Data. I think that's a good name. I get Uriel. Uriel is doesn't exactly roll off the tongue, and it's probably hard for most people to spell, but it is a saint, and it's got some, you know, historical meaning. But yeah, other than that, not a big fan. Tristan.com is one of those, like, it's like, looks good, but that's not the way that most people spell it.
Right.
You know, yeah. You know, living forever, it's like, you know, live forever, seven-figure domain. Living forever, eh.
Yeah.
Three-figure domain.
Yeah, exactly. You know?
No doubt. Yeah, I'm with it. You know, you got the Brian Johnson kind of thing, but 100%. Not all names are created equal, obviously. And like you've got
Brian Johnson passed on longevity.com. I was in London last year. We subsequently sold longevity.com for a lot of money. I was in London.com, staying at the one hotel, and I, you know, woke up in the morning. I was a little under there, you know, had a few too many drinks, didn't sleep super long. I was feeling a little rough around the edges. And I told my wife, I'm going to go downstairs and get a coffee. And I literally got in the elevator, like my head down, really feeling pretty crappy. And I like got in the elevator next, you know, the door opens on the next floor or whatever. And Brian Johnson gets in. And I kind of like look up and I was like, oh, you're Brian Johnson. And he looks at me like in that, like, you know, robotic Star Trek, you know, the guy Data in Star Trek. He like looks at you and he's like, oh, how'd you sleep? That's literally his response was, hi, how'd you sleep? That was his question. How'd you sleep? And I was like, I'm embarrassed to tell you how I slept. As a matter of fact, I slept terribly. I drank too much and I slept too little and I'm on my way down for a coffee. And anyways, I followed up with him. I didn't try to pitch it to him in the elevator, but I followed up with him and they passed without even asking the price.
Because it's not his brand. Don't die. That's his brand.
I hate the haters. I hate the Brian Johnson haters. I'm not, you know, he feels a little.
He's weird, but.
He's super weird. But he. What I will say is he literally couldn't have been more friendly and nice when I met him.
Didn't you say he was really tall?
And he's way bigger than I thought. I thought he was like, you know, I don't know, like a...
like wavy, like, you know...
gawky,
like,
yeah. Small, geeky guy. He's like at least double wide as I am. His shoulders are freaking super wide. He's a big dude. He's like a pretty jacked. He's like, he's not a small dude at all. Like, I bet he's... I'm sure it's public information, but I bet he's probably, I don't know. He was maybe an inch taller than I am. He's probably 6'2".
And well, he's only an inch taller than you. That means he's 5'11".
He's probably 6'2", and I gotta believe he's 200 pounds because I'm a 185 and he's literally twice as wide as me.
Yeah.
And an inch taller.
Yeah, well, he's obviously in good physical shape.
He's a little bit of an oddball, but he's a nice guy. I've met him too. He's from L.A.
Yeah,
we've been doing events together and stuff. So I've seen him speak.
Yeah,
but it's crazy the shit that he's doing. You know, and when he started Blueprint years ago, he was just putting everything online and not monetizing it.
Yeah,
I mean, maybe his plan was eventually monetized.
I don't know. I think it was clear that, you know, that was the plan, but. That's okay. It's, you know, look, at the end of the day, if he pulls this off, and he can create a real blueprint of like, this is how you literally don't die.
Don't die. Yeah.
I mean, God bless. And, you know, we should all be saying thank you to him. So, you know, it's not exactly a comfortable thing to do, to put your entire life publicly online. You know, he literally lays out like when and for how long he has sex with his girlfriend and like, I don't know, like some weird biomarker stuff.
Yeah. He's got some stuff, but most recently he did this thing where he collected his tears and got a bunch of biomarkers for that. It was like a $2,000 procedure where they
really for the tears.
To collect his tears, to then test his tears to see what that says about his stuff. So
instead of paying $2,000, he probably could have, like, you know,
just paid, got some girl on Craigslist to slap him in the face or something.
Yeah. Like, yeah, they probably would have paid him.
They collect his, if he collects his girlfriend tears, it's going to say, stop talking about our sex life.
Yeah, exactly right. That'll be the biomarker. anyway, all right. Well, that's the look. That's the list. And thanks, guys, for taking the time to go through it. But good luck, everybody. Happy hunting, happy bidding, all that good stuff. All right. And well, we're going to keep it moving. We got about 15 minutes and maybe not even use all that time. So we can just anything else that we haven't already talked about. You know, we kind of moved through NameJet, going to jet pretty quick. Braden, what else is good, man? What's good with you as far as any of your upcoming travel? You know, you were at ICA New York. How was that? I know we've got some other stuff going on with the ICA.
But yeah, that was great. You know, I've been pushing that idea for like, I don't know, 2 years, and they didn't want to take the risk. And finally, I don't know, the planets aligned, and I got some support. We did it, I mean, obviously, I didn't put it together. I just had the idea, but we sold out. And yeah. As a matter of fact, not only did we sell out, I think we were oversold. I think we squeezed a few more people in afterwards, and it was great. It was a good get together. You know, it's like the original Vegas, where it was like, you know, 50 people, and so it's a nice tight knit group. You could talk to everybody, spend time with everybody. Yeah. So you know, good conversations, and you know, we're definitely doing it again next year. So I'm looking forward to it.
Cool. Yeah, well, definitely. I mean, I think that obviously, look, we've had success with the Vegas, you know, with the annual meeting or mm-hmm. the annual member get together, and that's been great. And I think doing something that was a little bit more sort of high end, a little bit more intimate, new location. I think, you know, big shout out to Kevin and the team at Squarespace for opening up their offices and making them available for part of that, because that was a big, you know, help as far as to kind of center the thing.
It was a great space, too.
Yeah, that's what I heard. So, yeah. So all in all, good stuff. So big shout out to the ICA. You know, we had, if you haven't seen the episode with Cam and Nat, the new president, then definitely go check it out. And if you haven't gotten on your membership yet, then you also need to go deal with that. Because, you know, we've got some other good stuff coming up there. So, all right, well, what else? What about any other travel? ICANN?
The main organ observations?
Dubai's coming up. Well, no, first we got NamesCon, right?
Yeah, Miami.
NamesCon, I'm close now. Now that I'm in Puerto Rico.
Oh, that's true.
Oh, yeah, it's just a quick
2.5-hour flight. So I'm looking forward to that, and then Dubai, and then Bali, right after Dubai. So that's cool. So those are my travels coming up, and then...
When is Bali?
Right after Dubai. I don't know the exact date, but it's right after.
Which month? Do you know?
October, I think.
Okay.
I don't know if it's end of October or beginning of November.
Okay. Yeah.
Tough. Yeah, cool. Bali's going to be cool.
All right. Like that's what's good, man. So, other than that, just buying and selling?
Buying and selling. It's been a good year. A lot of people said it's been a slow summer, but I've had a lot of action. I actually sold 4 names last week, which is...
Wow.
Which for me, that's a lot, because I average like 1 a week. But 4, and then I've got a couple pending. I've got a little portfolio deal that I'm working on selling. So that's, you know, it's cool. I gotta draw up some cash, you know, because I just bought a house. So
selling a portfolio to end users?
No, to another investor. Which I never do, but it's a bunch of inventory that I've had a long time that I don't love. And you know, we worked out a fair deal, and it's a nice chunk of money, so which I could use right about now.
Ah, I like it, man. Yeah, you got to afford the new crib. You know what I mean? The new lifestyle as the LDJ Del Dorado.
Everyone wants susceptible to a little wholesale deal now and again.
I mean, I rarely ever. Every once in a while, there's like a name, like Drew. You bought one of my names once that you know, super profitable for me, and you turned a profit on it. So you know, win win. It's all good. And this port, you know, it's a sizable piece of change. So worth it for me. And I love this inventory anyway, because I'm trying to move up market. So I've got stuff that I don't necessarily need. So all good. Happy to do it.
Yeah.
All right. I dig it, man.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, that's what's good. Let's keep it moving. Drew, what about you?
No, I mean, I kind of gave it all at the top of the show. It's been a busier than normal summer. This week in particular, I actually wish it was not as busy. I'm trying to wind down and I'm getting stressed out.
Work or personal?
No, work. It's been really busy.
You can't keep up counting all that cash. Is that what it is? Your fingers are getting sore and.
We had a couple of very good sales this month, but June was really like a booming month, and in the last 60 days, maybe we've had really a huge number of acquisition requests. So we've been contracted for an extraordinary for relative to like our historical average, an extraordinary number of acquisitions, and some of them very, very large.
.AIs.
Including a number of .AIs, not the majority by any means.
So one word .coms primarily?
Yeah, primarily one word .coms.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With reasonable budgets, I assume.
I would say we're pretty picky on the acquisition side. Like, we don't really like going on fishing expeditions, so unless somebody comes with like what I would consider an appropriate budget for a name, we really won't take it on. And so I would say all of them are appropriate budgets, but unfortunately, some of them are simply not adequate for, the price levels that the owners want. It's pretty extraordinary to me that there's just some of these domain owners are really pushing the boundary on what the market will bear. Once in a while their bingo card hits. But most of them unfortunately don't. But that's how the ball falls.
It's how the ball falls. Or the ball bounces even. So yeah. So all right, well, good stuff. All right, Josh, last but not least, man, what's good with you?
Yeah, nothing much. I mean, like I kind of said in the beginning of the domain game, I haven't been buying really at all this year. The only things that I have bought are, I would say, pretty high quality names, and those have almost exclusively been in either, premium.com, premium.ai, or premium.org. So compared to last year where I bought like 7,000 names and like a bunch of different experiments and that kind of thing, this year I've probably bought, I don't know, like 20 names so far. It's just, for me, it's not really something, I don't want to keep scaling, a portfolio to a big size. I don't want to necessarily be a volume guy. I'm not opposed to it, but it's just a lot of work, and prefer to put my name in my put my cash in better names now. It just makes more sense from a largely just based on my general like
laziness.
More about my general thesis on the future of domains, which I've spoken about quite a lot. I guess I'm not generally as bullish as everyone else is. Aside from the fact that I do think that premium like .com domains have a much longer shelf life than just about anything else. I've dabbled in and like explored over the last year other things that, I might be good at outside of domains when the time comes. But for now, it's just focusing on the best stuff that I can possibly afford. And that's kind of what I'm doing.
Well, how's your experiment playing out? You bought like 7,000 names, a lot of hand reg. How's that working out for you? How long has it been? About a year?
Yeah, about a year. Some Obviously, some are a little less, some a little bit more because it's we're halfway through the year, and I started doing it at the beginning of last year, and then finished doing it at the end of last year. It's pretty good. I registered a lot of keywordagent.com names and a lot of keywordintelligence.com names, which for hand registrations, you can sell those for quite a lot of money. The other day I posted on X, I sold a keywordintelligence.com name for $10,000. I've sold others for $20,000, $15,000. And, these are names that I hand registered 12 months, 18 months ago for $5. I've done pretty well with the hand registrations. The ones that I've done best with are following the AI trend, honestly.
Okay. So, sorry, you have a positive ROI at this point?
Yeah.
You're into it?
Yeah.
That's pretty good. Do you know what your ROI is? Not dollars, but percentage?
No, I don't know exactly. But I was in the black on all of them at the beginning of this year already. My general, I was talking to Leanne about this, who I speak to regularly because she works at DNX. But like one of the things that a lot of people don't consider when they're registering a lot of domains is that like it's a terrible way to assess. 1 year's worth of sales is a terrible way to assess whether it's a positive or negative experiment. Because when you're registering domain names, there's no pent up demand. You're typically trying to register stuff that is trending upwards. And I'm not saying that in terms of like keywords like VR and stuff like that. I'm talking about it in terms of like naming conventions. So keyword agent, keyword intelligence, like stuff that people haven't really done before. But prior to that, they were maybe doing keyword labs. And you start to see these new trends that follow, certain industries. So you just needs more than 1 year for these kind of experiments to develop. If you've got a positive ROI within a year, I would say that you're generally looking at a pretty good investment over the course of 5 years. Would be my opinion.
So if you're already in the black, how come you don't want to do it again?
I've got stuff going on. I probably should. But again, also like there's risk involved in that as well. Like, do I want to hold 50,000 .coms? I'm not sure if I do.
Yeah.
It's definitely a lot of risk and a lot of work, right? The overhead. I prefer a smaller portfolio than a
bigger. It's always been my jam. And it really is about the management, the administration of it. Like, I admire the people that have massive portfolios and are able to effectively manage pricing in particular, renewals and all that are pretty easy with, modern domain registrar tools and stuff. But pricing in particular for me, I just think like each domain really needs to be analyzed, and you need to look at the buyer universe, and you need to really think intelligently. And, we did an exercise, earlier this year, we priced a lot of names. With buy now pricing, and I just sold too many of them way undervalued because I priced it in a vacuum. I didn't spend the time on each name looking at trends or buyer universe or anything, and we just sold too many names way undervalued. And it feels great to be having the consistent hits, but honestly, the conclusion I came to last week, we pulled all buy it now pricing off of all names above $25,000.
Really? And
yeah. I have no more buy it now pricing on any name above 25 grand. I will selectively put pricing on, buyer inquiries, but unless I get a, bona fide offer on a name that is in that category, I'm not pricing it. I'm not anymore because it just, things are moving too quickly, and there's so much company creation, there's so many new brand creations, and there's so much I think upward momentum in value, And I want the optionality of pricing a domain in the moment, even if I'm losing some sales. The people that matter, the people that need a name, they're not just maybe that's the name I want. The people that need a name, that's where you're going to get your best sale. And that's where you can extract, you know, the highest value out of a name. And in my opinion, that makes up for all the names that you missed the sale on. And so I have stripped all buy now pricing off all names above 25 grand. And I'm only pricing them when I get bona fide offers from buyers.
Wow.
Yeah. That was literally all happened in the last week.
Isn't it amazing? You do this for years and years, and we, you know, we're still experimenting. There's just no.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. You know, like, look, earlier this year, I don't know if it was last year, maybe it was last year, you know, I sold kind of two big names back to back on GoDaddy. Like, I sold both to the Trunk family. I sold the ABTC.com, which was their Bitcoin business.
American Bitcoin.
And I was literally just a buy it now, whatever it was. I don't remember, 750 grand. And then the other one was another four letter. Well, I don't remember what it was. It was like BTCV or I don't remember. It was another semi crypto related four letter. And it was like 500 grand, 495 grand or something, buy it now. And so, you know, look, it's hard to say, like, I don't know. Maybe they would have gone with a different name if there wasn't a buy it now. Maybe there was a time constraint and they just hit the bin. I don't know. That's the thing about domains. It's impossible to A-B test. Literally impossible to A-B test. I don't give a shit what anybody says. I've argued with Darpon about this, you know, over and over and over again. And it's all these freaking data putt guys. I love you, Darpon. You're doing amazing things for the industry. I love that you're innovating. But all these guys get stuck in their own freaking heads about data, data. And it's like, look, you're missing the point. Domains, each one is unique. There is no A-B testing. Each domain name has a unique buyer, a unique seller, a unique moment of time, and the domain name itself has a bazillion unique variables and attributes. You cannot A-B test. Doesn't exist. Don't care. Shut up. Don't want to hear it. You have no argument. Nobody can tell me otherwise. I've thought about this probably more than anybody on earth. I think about it constantly, every single day. You cannot A-B test, and therefore, I don't know. I changed my mind about what to do about that. But the conclusion I've come to most recently is that I think the highest value thesis or the highest value method is to just individually price names in the moment. Do not have buy and now pricing, which is contrary to what the data says, right? The data says sell-through rates are higher. And that's probably true. But what that doesn't account for is opportunity cost of selling a name at a buy it now price. Like, we can look at it and say abtc.com, 750 grand or whatever the price was, you know, amazing deal. No freaking question. I'm very happy. I have zero regrets. The question is, would it have sold if it didn't have a buy it now price? Would I have not gotten the sale because they moved on to another name? Or would they have inquired and I might have done more research and maybe I sold it for a higher price? And we will never know. That is the case in every sale, in my opinion. So I don't know. I think that having the optionality of pricing the name in the moment, if you're going to do your research appropriately, I think that's the right way to go. And on the buying side, from a, you know, put my brokerage hat on, you know, I would say that, like, you know, having to go knock on a door, not having a price anchor up front, and then being presented with prices that are way higher than a buyer wanted to pay, in the cases where the buyer really wants the name or really needs the name, that frustration that it causes definitely leads to a higher sale price. Like, it just does. That's my experience. So that's what I'm doing for now. I may change. I may also move the mark from, you know, everything above 25 grand to maybe 50. I don't know. Yeah. But certainly on the highest value names, I think it's important to price it in the moment.
Yeah. I've got my high value names unpriced.
Yeah.
But I think But I think, and that's seven figures. I think everything in the six figures is still priced.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. Well, I think you raise a good point, Braden, talking about, you know, even after all these years, there's still experimentation and trying to figure out what works. And look, because things change, platforms change, buyer taste change, market dynamics change.
Everything, that's the thing. Everything's moving so fast. It's moving so fast. And it's just going to move faster, right? It's not like we're in this period where everything's moving fast and then it's going to, you know, slow down. Like, I think we might hit a major credit event, or I think, you know, CFOs are going to wake up and realize they're spending an irrational amount of money on AI tokens. And then, you know, they're going to pull back on those budgets. And then suddenly that exponential growth at, you know, Anthropic and ChatGPT is going to go off a cliff. Right. So I don't know what's going to happen, but I know that the trajectory we're on isn't sustainable, but it doesn't matter. The pace of change is not going to slow down. It's going to only accelerate. It's going to accelerate at an incredibly uncomfortable pace. And so I want the optionality of being able to, you know, price my most valuable names in the moment, you know, according to, you know, whatever publicly available information I've got, or feeling I've got, or requirement for liquidity or not that I have in that moment.
Yep. No, I think that all makes sense. And obviously our goal, you know, internally is just to try to set things up so that we can roll with the punches and be agile and make changes and, you know.
Which comes back to the original question, which is, that's why I've always wanted to manage a smaller, higher value portfolio as opposed to thousands and thousands or tens of thousands of smaller names.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's a fair point. And I think the idea of portfolio size in general, it's sort of like, you know, you get in where you fit in. And for some people, they might have an easier time or just have more success managing and not even managing, but more success in buying and selling lower value domains at scale versus, you know, higher value, smaller portfolio. But you know, it's also easier said than done when it's like, hey, I want to have a smaller portfolio of higher value names. It's like, okay, well, you know, it's not like that. But it's not like it's cheap. So it's the whole point.
No.
And so, yeah.
Braden,
so,
you've always got the inside info. Do you have any insight into how, huge domains, how they price their names? Is it sort of like categorically, like this is a $1,000 bucket, $10,000 bucket?
Yeah, it's all algos. I mean, everybody they got millions of names. They have more names than I believe anybody. I don't think.
Yeah, I think they're I'm quite sure they're the largest domain owner
by a lot.
I think they're 5 or 6 million domains.
Yeah, I mean, it was 5 million, and then they dropped.
They trimmed, but then I saw they kind of were running back up.
Then they went back up, so it's somewhere between 3 and 5 million. But and Namefind, I think GoDaddy owns 1 million, so yeah. They're by far the largest portfolio. Maybe Triple G's got 2.5 or something, but you know, those are traffic names and they probably have less now, but so they're probably the largest, and it's all algorithmic, and they sell just a shit ton of names, but they got a big team. They got overhead is nuts. I mean, let's say 5 million names times, I mean, I don't know how many .coms, nets, and orgs, what the breakdown is, but, you know, you got to take like $13, $14, right? Kind of higher than $10 average. How much is that?
A lot. It's like, you know, talking 60 to million, 75 million a year.
$70 million.
The portfolio, then you got salaries, you know, then you got tech budgets.
Yeah.
Then you got, you know, whatever, right?
Acquisitions, right? Because they're buying on the drop.
Yeah.
They're spending a ton of money. They've got, you know, the registrar business, they got Dropcatch, and so they've got other revenue streams. But, you know, it is, that business has a massive overhead. It's algorithmic, because I have seen underpriced names. I've also seen overpriced names.
Yeah.
But I think most of their names are priced to sell, right? Like, you know, most of the names you look at, they're like $3,000, $5,000, $6,000. They're not crazy. I don't see moonshots on huge domains. My opinion.
Well, own. It's not a meaningful portion of their portfolio, but they do own some bangers.
Yeah,
they plusview.com, and they've got a few real bangers.
For sure. Yeah, they do. They do. And you know, their sales aren't public, so we don't know what they're selling, yeah. But they have picked, I think, about stop.com and so they've got some good names, but I mean, out of 5 million, right? Would have 100 bangers, who knows?
Probably something like
that. Yeah. Yeah. It's just not the market they're in.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Turn and burn.
Yeah. So, well, I think that shows you that, you know, different strokes for different folks, right? At the end of the day, some things work for some people and other things and other approaches make sense for others. So,
and that's what makes a market.
That's it. Boom. So, all right. Well, with that, we're going to kind of land the plane here. Just one thing I wanted to bring up before we close out. So looking at the appraise.net appraisals for the names that we did in the domain game, which feels like a little while ago now, but hashpower.com, 180,000, 180,000 for Hashpower. So it makes your buy feel pretty good, Drew. You know what I'm saying? And Link Global, $48,000. So maybe left a little bit of money on the table.
Left a little something on the table.
Even Spell Funny?
Spell Funny, yeah. 48 grand is their price. The range is 31 to 48. So, and then skills.org, 1.275 mil.
Yeah,
hey, shoot for the moon and catch a star, fellas. You know what I'm saying? So, but right. Those are the appraisals for the show today. Big shout out to appraise.net, who is a sponsor. And I gotta say
this before we end. I feel like those appraisals got worse, a lot worse recently.
Oh, so with the new engine, the engine 2.5.
Yeah, that's, I mean, those are all of them are, apart from the hash route one, the other two are completely absurd, like not even close.
Wow. I do think they're very bullish. You know what I'm saying? Like they're very aspirational. I feel like they've gotten more aspirational with the update.
Wrong is a $5 name, right? That sold for $5,000. And skills.org, at how much did it say? 1 point something million?
1.2. Yeah, it's 1.2, not skills.com.
Yeah,
that's interesting.
You know what I've found, and we I'll say this, we. You know, we've built an internal tool that I really think it's excellent, but it does not do well with anything except .com. And I think that what you run into is that I think to price anything except .com, it's really hard. I have not found a way to do it objectively because, like skills.org, for example, right? Like you're looking at, you've got all these data points, right? Whichever data points you're utilizing, but you know, at its core, it's probably similar data points to what I'm looking at. And then you say, okay, but it's not .com, it's .org. You know, we used to, back in the day when basically nobody knew their elbow from their asshole, people would just say, oh, .org is 5 to 10% of .com and .net was 10% of .com. And it was just this weird rule of thumb that seemed really arbitrary, and it is completely arbitrary. And I think it's basically using some arbitrary discount rate of the .com, and that's not really applicable, both subjectively and like objectively. Does the SLD max a TLD? Does, you know, is there a buyer pool? Is it a commercial name? Is it non-commercial? You know, so I think even if it's .ai, I think it's very difficult to price. I think .ai is probably easier than .org, in fact, just because values are starting to approach .com levels, at least for the ones that are trading. I think it's very hard, and I'm not sure what the solution is from a valuation standpoint, how to solve for that. I don't think you can really do it well. I don't think anybody does it well for anything but .com.
Well, I think that you can take a percentage. You could say a .org is, I don't know, 3 to 5% value of the .com, but that's one data point, right? Yeah. Because, you know, and some people look at .db and they're like, oh, it's, you know, it's registered 180 extensions. But what's happening with those? Are they all owned by one company? Are they all owned by
the that's
every
the
single one is for
is.
Sale? So you have to kind of look at, you know, the what's happening with that SLD, right?
Yeah.
So is, if you're looking at the .org and .com and .net and .ai and .xyz and .co and .io are all developed, like, you're golden. Now your .org is worth more because there's no other options, right? Yeah. They're going to get a .to or some shit. Out of the universe of options, you're it, right? So raise that price. But if you got a .org and you think you're going to sell it for whatever, 50 grand, but the .net is 5 grand and the .com is for sale and the .xyz, like, you know, then it just lowers the price. So you have to kind of look at the universe of what the options are for that SLD.
Yeah.
Well, and then, and I think this kind of goes also to, you know, appraisals are tough. Managing a lot of names is tough. That's why having a smaller portfolio where you can kind of really hone in and be pretty surgical is probably an easier, although more high stakes and harder to do in general, because you know if you're playing at that level with bigger names, so again, I think that most people would probably like a smaller portfolio of higher value names, unless they have some way of really having cracked the code to, you know, manage the buying, the selling of, you know, the renewing and everything else and the pricing of, you know, I mean, I can't even imagine the undertaking of what managing 5 million domains is like, as far as like staying on top of all that kind of stuff. And like, they're smart guys. The Rebarys are smart dudes. So it's like, I'm sure they've got a lot of different systems and tech and things in place that really help, as well as teams of people. I mean, they've got a big old, you know, like got a staff of people, but that's what it takes, right? So it's like, you know, if you're one-man band trying to manage, you know, tens of thousands of domains, it's, you know, there's a lot of folks out there that do, and they do it well, but that also takes a special set of skills. So it's just interesting. But like we said, that's what makes the market. All right, with that, we are definitely over time. So this was good. I appreciate you guys. Thank you so much. As always, it is a pleasure to have you all on the show, and appreciate that everything you guys do and sharing all this for the audience. Speaking of the audience, say it on every show, without you, there is no us. Thank you all so much for tuning in and being part of the show. Kind of in line with some of that feedback that led Drew to actually being prepared and ready for the domain game. Please hit us up with any questions, comments, the good, the bad, the ugly. We're not hard to find. You know what it is.
He even put on a jacket today.
It's a shame because, like, I think the most interesting conversation we had in the entire show was kind of like after the closing. We probably get 60-70% of the audience probably signed off. When we started doing the, like, okay, closing thoughts. And then it was like, oh, actually, we just went into the most interesting part of the conversation. So maybe your intro, when you do the intro after, you should kind of say, like, stick around for after the closing statements, because we get into an interesting discussion.
It is true. And, but hey, that's why, you know, look, it's the people who will be rewarded are those who have the longevity.
Staying power.
Stick with it. You know what I'm saying? Anyway. All right. Well, with that, we're going to jump, but we appreciate all y'all, everybody here on the show and everybody watching or listening at home. Thank you so much. And we will see everybody next time here on Domain Sherpa, where all roads lead to domains. Peace out, everybody. We will see you soon.
Bye, guys.